Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal, but it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHOPE. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHOPE, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
And we're back at it after a very active trade deadline. Life returns to somewhat of a normal. The San Jose Sharks have a game to play tonight, 7 o'clock, go time, 6:30 pregame. The Islanders in town. The San Jose Sharks' first home game since February 8th when they got beat up by the Dallas Stars. They're looking to make good on that. And in 6 out of the 7 games on that road trip that they were just on that went through Canada and then to the East Coast to Buffalo before going back through to the Rocky Mountains to get punched by the Avs on a day when they had seen some trades go down, they're finally back home. And they remain home until the 30th of this month when they are in LA taking on the Kings. So some home cooking for the San Jose Sharks, some well-deserved time with a home audience who is desperate to see some Sharks hockey. I talked with Alan Hoshida yesterday about everything that's been going on with the San Jose Sharks and everything at the trade deadline. I'm going to play that for you in a moment. Also, if you haven't checked out our broadcaster roundtable about the 2025 deadline, please check that out. It's available right here on the Sharks Audio Network On Demand podcast. Me, Dan, Drew, Randy, we talked about everything. But right now, Alan Hoshida and I get into what was a busy couple of days for the San Jose Sharks.
All right, Ted. So that was a pretty explosive trade deadline by the San Jose Sharks. I didn't really think you'd get to 9 guys deep since the beginning of the year. And we looked at it, that's like half the roster. What was your first just takeaways after basically the Fabian Zetterlund trade came down and everything kind of settled?
I had been surprised that the Fabian Zetterlund contract talk quieted down, because earlier this winter it was a point of talking and media was going over it, and then suddenly it just kind of disappeared. And I was curious about that. Yeah. And I wondered if he could be on the block. I didn't expect it in any way, shape, or form, but I think that what we really learned today, Alan, is that Mike Greer is focusing on those guys that were 23 and under that had 8 points in the win the other night. That's clearly the direction where this is all going. He is focused on the youth. I know that we would include Tyler Toffoli in the conversation of guys that are going to be here going forward because he was signed for longer term. But I think this is all about building the guys that are young. I mean, Eklund is 22. Will Smith is 19. Macklin Celebrini is 18. We can also talk about Colin Graf and Shakir Mukhmudulin and Yaroslav Askarov. And this is him building around those pieces. And I think it's going to be a tough stretch of these final 18 games for the San Jose Sharks. I don't know how many wins are going to be in there, but I think that this tells us that he has confidence in building around those young players and that he also had the confidence to kind of take off the training wheels and say, you know what? These veteran leaders have been great up to this point for these young players, but now these guys have to do it on their own while we build towards the future. The other thing, and I don't know if you want to get into this now or later, but I thought it was very interesting that he said, when asked about whether or not they were going to be aggressive in the offseason, he didn't like or want to use the term aggressive, but he did say that he felt that this was going to be the last deadline that they were, you know, being hardcore sellers like this. And I thought that was a very interesting point that he made over the course of that press conference.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing. I think there's a lot of emotions as fans. And when you're covering this team, when you take away Wallman, you take away Zetterlund, the other guys you kind of could see happening. But once you hear him speak, it kind of calmed me down a little bit. And also the fact that he said this is the last deadline, he really hopes that they're heavy sellers, tells me also that he kind of has a plan to really fill out this roster, maybe moving forward, so they aren't in these bottom three discussions.
Yeah, and I think that he doesn't want to have the losing be around because he wants these guys to start taking steps and playing in important games. But I think, like I said, it speaks to the confidence that he has in these players because, you know, last night we watched Will Smith, you know, again, get on the score sheet. Macklin Celebrini get on the score sheet. William Eklund, you know, he had 2 points last night, his 100th. Eventually in the NHL with the second point that he had with the goal. I mean, these guys are trending in the right direction. And I think that although he said it was not specifically, you know, based upon their record, I think that you have to be relatively cold and say, okay, we love Nico Sturm. We love Fabian Zetterlund. Jake Walman's been great. Vitek Vanacek has been great. All these veterans, Luke Cunningham, I'm trying not, there's so many names out. I'm trying not to leave anybody out. But the point is, you weren't winning with this group.
No.
And I think that these guys served their purpose while they were there during this, you know, difficult situation of the rebuild. And, you know, they moved on from the big money deals by trading away Erik Karlsson and trading away Brent Burns. And, you know, also Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl. These guys, you know, have been there for that, at least the Cunnins and the, you know, the Sturms, previously Matt Benning as well. But, you know, even, you know, guys this year that came in, you know, Cody Ceci, they had value elsewhere. You know, same thing with the Jake Walman, who they got for nothing. They got a conditional first out of that. So I think it tells us that, you know, these guys did their job, but they're also looking at the future. And like you said with Fabian Zetterlund, Fabian Zetterlund's a little bit older. He's 25 going on 26. It doesn't quite line up with this younger core of players. It is fascinating, though, because like you said, I was prepared for the Sturm and the Cunningham and maybe one of the goalies. You know, the Walman and the Zetterlund were the one that was kind of like, whoa, this is making waves across the NHL. And he even said that he wasn't expecting to move either of those guys. But, you know, to quote the Godfather, you know, he was made an offer that he couldn't refuse. And they were very big on Ostapchuk. I'm not sure quite how to pronounce his name yet.
Yeah, but now that he nailed it.
Center. And being a big, heavy body.
Yeah.
So that's a plus as well.
I mean, pretty much every guy they brought in, Giles too, also is a big body. So I think there was a little bit of like, they need to fill out. They have a lot of guys that are 6 foot and under that are very skilled. They even talked about Will Smith, Macklin Celebrini, William Eklund. But then you need some bigger bodies because you can't have everyone, which I think was also, you know, when you listen to Greer, when he spoke about it, I don't think we always look at it from a roster building standpoint that he pointed out. Like, you can't have every guy that's 6 foot and under and highly skilled when you get to the playoffs. Like, that just doesn't happen. And so to fill out the roster the way that he's done, I think it speaks to kind of his philosophy on how he wants to mix things up. Was there anything else that stood out to you from that presser?
I think the fact that Mike Greer, when he tells everyone that he was not expecting to make those trades, I think it was him talking about being willing to make the moves that does maybe extend the short-term pain, but maybe hasten the process to getting towards the long-term success.
Yeah.
Because you don't make these moves unless you think it's helping you as a means to an end. And I think now that he's made these trades, he's probably saying, okay, now I have more reason to bring in the young guys. We might see Luca Cagnoni now. And we might see some other guys that were playing at different levels get up to the Barracuda now at the end of the year. And we might get to see just change overall. But I think that he's saying that when the offer came in, he made it. And again, I don't want to speak for him, but it leads me to believe that there is a bigger plan at play. It's just that we're not privy to it. They don't come to the broadcasters and say, well, Ted, what do you think we should do? It's my joke is they generally don't tell the guys with the loudest voices what all the deep, dark secrets and plans are. Probably wouldn't go too well. No. So they're clearly operating on their own plan. And Mike Greer's plan up to this point, at least based on the returns of those two first-round draft picks that he has to his credit, and Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini, I mean, boy, it looks like it's going to plan right now, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Now we have these assets when you look at them. And what is it, two first-round picks? In 2025, two first-round picks. They now have 2 seconds, they have a third, 2 fourths, a lot in the top 100, and then in 2026, they have 2 firsts and 2 seconds. Hopefully, by then, things are a little bit different. But they have assets now here, Ted. What's the plan?
I mean, Mike Greer has said previously that not every pick is a pick. That means it could be packaged for a player. That means, anything could happen, right? And I think that's what Mike Greer has said in the past. And I think that, you know, he didn't want to use the term aggressive because he said, to his point, he didn't want to give guys term ahead of schedule. He didn't want to just spend money for the sake of spending money. But Randy Hahn just told this to me when I was speaking to him a few minutes ago, that the Sharks are, you know, currently $20 million under the floor going into next year. So while aggressive might not be the correct term, I mean, they have to go out there and sign guys. They have to go and bring in players. They have money that they have to spend. And I think that now they have options and they've got to, you know, to his point, you know, bring in guys on the back end and try and figure out what they're going to do to, you know, figure out their defense. But also, you know, you would hope that the continued development of Shakir Mukmadulin and Henry Thrun, and maybe a Luca Cagnoni as well, and who knows where Sam Dickinson, you know, will be in a couple of years' time, that, you know, these prospects are able to fill out and are able to become what we hope that they will become. And you're not going to hit on every draft pick, and we've talked about this a million times. And plus, there's a number of high-quality players with the Barracuda right now who are just early in their development, who could be developing as well, that don't get as much talk, not just on the defensive side of things, but overall. So, you know, the Sharks have a lot of pieces to work with, and I think that's what you want more than anything. Even though, yes, it would be great in a perfect world if every single prospect panned out and put on a Shark sweater. That would be great. However, I think just as we saw with the trade of Tristan Robbins today as part of the Fabian Zetterlund deal that brings my guy Noah Gregor back to San Jose. Gregor's a great interview and a great guy. He's also good buds with Mario Ferraro. But, you know, Mike Greer has options to do what he feels is necessary to improve this team. Most options that you can get is the best way to go about it. And not every pick is going to turn into a player. So Mike Greer is keeping all those options open. And I guess I would throw it back on you. And what was your big takeaway today, Alan, from the press conference?
I just think that he seems so calm about things. And, you know, this is the first press conference or trade deadline press conference that I've been involved with. And it still seems like he has a plan, and he's not going to push it. I think he does feel a little bit, because he was asked about Macklin and Will, and he spoke glowingly about Macklin. And so he did feel like he knew Macklin was ahead of the schedule that they put in front of him, but he's not going to push it. But I also think the fact that he admitted that this is the last deadline he wants to sell this heavy, I think is a good sign to the fans. I think that's something that if you don't take anything else from that press conference, that is going to be a sticking point. And now you got to go back that up with what you do. To your point, like, Tyler Toffoli to me almost was an untouchable at this deadline just because of how impactful he has been, right, both on the ice and off the ice. So if you can go get more guys, you have to go get more guys like a Tyler Toffoli to help supplement this group moving forward. And then, yeah, maybe if you flip him again, you flip him again, but hopefully not, because as he said, this is the last deadline he really wants to sell this heavy at.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I know that everybody is in a real hurry to make Macklin Celebrini the next captain of the San Jose Sharks. And I'm not saying this to, you know, put pressure on Logan Couture, but we don't know what Logan Couture's outlook is for the future. He hasn't played but 6 games, you know, since April of 2023. So his future is unknown. But there is a part of me that would love the idea of Tyler Toffoli being the next captain of the San Jose Sharks. You know, he had a post-game quote last night where he said, you know, we can't just sit on our asses and wait to get kicked in the ass. We've got to play hard to the end of the year, or something to that effect. I just loved the use of ass twice in the same sentence to really double down on his point. There's something about Tyler Toffoli. He just has such a steady, even-keel nature about him. He's never too high. He's never too low. And I think that was the right thing to say at that point. He was extremely blunt, but we all knew what he was talking about, right?
Yeah, and you need that type of leadership. And if I know Greer talked about they're not going to take away the C as long as Couture's on the roster. So even if it's next, you know, if you're in another limbo year, Tyler Toffoli might be the de facto captain at that point. And then Macklin's almost 20, and maybe you're getting closer to the ideal timeline. But yeah, I think that voice is important. You saw the stuff with the hotel room. And so I just think Tyler Toffoli, aside from the 24 goals that he has, 23, whatever he's at this point, because he's going to get to 30. It's just, he has been hugely impactful. And I think Greer, if we get to talk to him at the wrap, I think looking back, that's also going to be a signing that I think has paid huge dividends for him.
Well, I think that Tyler Toffoli coming here and having success and having fun, especially posting stuff online with him and Will, like we saw, or with Macklin and Will in their little sleepover. There's a core of guys in the NHL who are going to look at that and say, you know what? That team has a lot of promise for the future and they're having fun. Like, there's a lot of bad teams in the NHL where guys are not having fun. And I've seen that time. And like, I'm not trying to pick on Chicago, but I don't think there's a lot of fun being had in Chicago right now. And I know the Sabres have been in a long-term rebuild. I don't know if guys are having a lot of fun in Buffalo right now, but people are going to see the Sharks and be like, you know what? They look like they're having a pretty good time. They are not distraught by the difficult season that they're having. In fact, they seem to be, you know, seemingly not overlooking it, but they're still having a good time regardless. And that team's about to be better. Maybe that's someplace I want to go sign with. So
I know, I think that's huge. I think it's really huge. I think that they have to have a good attitude. I also think like Greer, I think Greer knows too, that they have to have good attitude and build this culture. They can't get stuck. Like you can't get stuck like you're the Buffalo Sabres and having this drawn out. What they almost on 14 years if they miss the playoffs again this year. You know, Chicago's hasn't gone as planned, as quickly as planned. It could change if they get another top overall pick here. With you can't get stuck. But if you – and so by not getting stuck, I think you bring in better players too to help out this group. And if they see Tyler Toffoli – it's working with Tyler and Toff, I think has a really good reputation throughout the league.
Right.
Maybe that'll help bring some other guys along. And there is some free agents out there. There are going to be some restricted free agents. What can you do now with these assets? And I'm interested to see. I'm hopeful because honestly, I don't know if the fan base can take another 21 season and we may not even get to 21s this year at this point. But with that being in mind, there's 18 left and this is a huge audition. For every guy, especially the guys they brought in, the Barracuda that are coming up, like you have 18 games now in the NHL to audition yourself, not only for the San Jose Sharks, but for the rest of the league.
Right. No, and I'm hoping that guys like Nikolai Kovalenko, who you know is finally back active again after being injured for a while, great personality. I hope he has success throughout the end of the year. I hope Colin Graf continues to show how good I think we all believe he can be. You know, you look at these guys who are getting that opportunity. You know, Noah Gregor is another guy who I'm long a big fan of because the guys that are good interviews, which is my other joke, is like they've traded away Luke Cutting, they traded away Nico Stern. I was like, they're trading away my good interviews.
Yeah.
They traded away Matt Benning, Mackenzie Blackwood. But Noah Gregor is another guy who, you know, he's good buds with Mario Ferraro, but he will also give very insightful, in-depth answers. So, you know, Noah Gregor is one of those character guys who he's a bottom six guy. But he's going to play his tail off. He's going to give you a 100% effort. You know, he's such a fast, fun player to watch. And, you know, I'll text him here in a little bit. And it's always interesting when you know these guys, you don't want to be like, hey, congratulations on being traded, because I'm sure it's a weird headspace. But, you know, you also want to let the guy know, like, hey, we don't forget how your professionalism and effort was previously when you were on this team. You know, my good friend Marvell Wynn, who played a long, successful career in Major League Soccer, his dad was a Major League Baseball player, played for the Pirates, played for the Padres, a couple other teams I'm forgetting. But, you know, when Marv got traded, his dad said, hey, you got to look at it this way. There's another team that wanted you enough to go out there and get you. They wanted you on their team. Don't look at it as one team not wanting you. Look at it as the other team wanting you. And I always thought that was pretty cool. And I hope that a guy like Noah Gregor will view it that way.
Yeah, and now it'll be interesting. I think Graf was maybe a little out of spot for the last few handful of games playing in the bottom six. Could he get a run here with the second line, top line at some point? I think that'll be good. Noah Gregor, obviously, we know his speed and what he brings. So I think there are some interesting things to see. Ted, I guess we'll find out here starting tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming fast. Well, here's one question. Do you think we'll see Will Smith go back to center?
The way Greer talked about it also, that's another thing for the fans.
Yeah.
Like he said Macklin, Will, and Zach, the new kid. And so maybe they put him back in the middle, but he's played so well on the outside. I think maybe that's why you keep him there for the rest of this year and then you run him back out there next year. But then you have three really young centers. If this is what, like next year, if you go Macklin's, Will, and the Osepchuk, that's just really young, but maybe they'll do it and we'll see. Other note, real quick, like the fact fans are probably going to ask why Fabian Zetterlund got traded. The other part of it is he really mentioned like Chernyshov, Musty. He talked about all the scoring wingers in their pipeline that need a shot eventually. And so I thought that was also interesting. It showed kind of Cameron Lund that he brought up too. It kind of showed a lot of faith. I think the Sharks really believe in their prospects, man. I think it's I know they're number one prospect pool and they probably should, but I think it's an elite level that they really believe in the guys coming up.
Yeah. And I think, you know, while we talk about this trade and the acquisition of Ostapchuk, when they traded David Edstrom, who they acquired in the Hurdle trade, I think he was very similar to that body type of a bigger guy being a little bit, you know, leaner and meaner in the middle. And I wanted to bring that up because I think that a lot of people think about it being eventually Hurdle being swapped for Askarov, but like they had another center, a big Swedish center who they thought they were going to slot in. And then obviously Askarov became available and they were able to make that move. But I think that that's a body type, a desire, a heavy third line center that they've been wanting to go after for a while. All right, we are out of time. Be sure to tune in at 7 o'clock tonight when the Sharks play host to the Islanders. Pre-game 7:30 right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.